You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And a very good Thursday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. And wherever you are, we hope to make it better. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. On Thursday, we do transitions. We do Marines on management. We talk about how your skills translate to the civilian sector, specifically your leadership skills, and talk with different people and try to hopefully paint a picture of how what you've done can contribute to the future and things you ought to be sensitive about. Somebody was telling me a story. Actually, a general officer was telling me a story about how he went as a guest speaker, and he talked about people that challenge you and that are disrespectful. And he said, so I'm talking to him, and I said, you know, that guy, you got to shoot that guy right in the face, man. He's got to get it. I caught myself, and I said, let me just tell you what that means in the Marine Corps. And I think most of us realize that. So we'll talk to former Marine captain, Angie Morgan, and something we recorded a few weeks ago. But it's a great piece, pay attention to it. You'd be well to pay attention to it. Angie's a best-selling writer. She's been on the New York Times best-selling list, USA Today's best-selling list, has a consulting company, and a very successful young woman. And so you'll hear that this morning. And then a friend of mine said, "Hey Mac, I met a guy." It happens more and more now that we've been just going on 9 months of doing All Marine Radio. So. A friend of mine says, "Hey, I want you to meet, a guy that I met the other day at my kid's football practice." I said, "Okay." He said, "Former Marine," and so he put me in touch with him. And interesting guy, got scout sniper in the Marine Corps, gets out and becomes a police officer down in Carlsbad, outside of Camp Pendleton. And then lo and behold, just through some social networking, he gets introduced to somebody who's doing a pilot in Hollywood, television pilot, and gets asked, "Well, do you want to become a technical advisor for what I'm doing?" And he does, and so he's a technical advisor on the very successful show called Shooter. So Steve Sepker is going to join us, and so we'll talk to him about his career and about the number of transitions that he's gone through in his life and where he is today. So from Marine to police officer to private security work to being a technical advisor in Hollywood. So we'll talk to Steve about that at about 8:20. So interesting morning, as Thursdays tend to be here on All, as every day tends to be here on All Marine Radio. So thanks for making us part of your morning. Sit back, relax, enjoy the ride, and hopefully we will make your day a little bit more bearable in this unbearable world that we live in. So, with all that said, a reminder of who we are, what we are, and what we are as a nation. Well, I like that. No matter how many people tell me, like, that's kind of 79 seconds that I'll never get back. Shut up. Just shut it.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Time for us to check the weather here. From the Almarine Radio Weather Center. Yeah, didn't know we had one of those, did you? We do, come on. We're not punks. We got a weather center. What the hell? The weather's big stuff. All right. Especially the Marine Corps, man. All right. In Quantico, 38 cloudy. Camp Lejeune, 57 degrees and cloudy. Granbury, Texas, 38. Back down in the cold. 38 degrees under cloudy skies. Grand Forks, North Dakota, 5 below and cloudy. And it's warm. It's warming up there. 29 Palms, sunny in 54. Camp Pendleton, cloudy in 53. Camp Smith in Hawaii, clear. Doesn't happen often at night. Clear in Hawaii, dark in 66. In Okinawa, cloudy in 54. Cooling off in Okinawa. In Fallujah, clear, dark, 61. And at the home of Almarine Radio, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, foggy, 57 degrees. That's a look at your currents. Yeah, that's what they call, that's what they're called in the weather center, the currents. I like that. Yeah. I'm giving you a glimpse behind the curtain. All right, we're going to check a few headlines before we get this thing rolling today. Some interesting stories. Top story in Early Bird is, these numbers are, they're staggering, but I figured I'd share them with you, right? More than half, 59% to be accurate, of the Marine Corps fixed and rotary wing aircraft were unable to fly at the end of 2016. 59%. What is that? What is that? What in the hell is that? You got to be kidding me. Okay, out of 1,065 Marine Corps aircraft, is that an eight? Yeah, out of Marine Corps times. 439 were flyable. 439 were flyable. That would mean, if I did the math, 615, 626 are not flyable. 59% of the inventory is not flyable, according to General Davis, Deputy Commandant of Aviation. Quote, my target should be 589 flyable aircraft, so I'm 150 planes shy of what I need to get to my flight hour goal. In order to meet my operational commitments, I need a little bit more than that. He's 150 aircraft short. That's incredible. Only 72 of the 280 F-18 Hornets are flyable on December 31st. 25% of the inventory. In September, 90 were flyable. The numbers are stunning. The numbers are stunning. So I don't know what to say. And then, you know, on the wish list of what the Marine Corps wants is faster delivery of the F-35, you think? You know, and it's a terrible story. I mean, what happened if something happened? Marine Corps our aviation component non-combat effective. Can't go. Cannot go. interesting story about the Afghan Air Force. The number of civilian casualties in Afghanistan has gone up incredibly in the last year, all right? And casualty rates in 2015, 296 casualties attributed to aerial strikes. In 2016, with the expansion of the Afghan Air Force, which consists of helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft, okay, that 296 doubled to 590. So obviously an immature organization, but you know that's only part of it. It's not that it's only immature; it's that they don't care. Human life, not so much. Human life, not so much. So it's kind of interesting. We lay our American lens down on that, and we're like, oh my God, look at that number. It's like, you know what the Afghans do? They shrug their shoulders. You know what the Iraqis do? They shrug their shoulders. Hey, should have been there then. Inshallah, Allah's will. You know, but the loss of life? Come on. Come on. Interesting little headline out of Baghdad yesterday. United States Army Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend, who runs the operation in Iraq, said that both Mosul and Raqqa, which is deep in Syria, will fall in the next 6 months. How about that? Now, I have yet to hear the plan for how does Raqqa fall? It's in Syria. Who's taking it down? Iraqi forces? Are they going to invade Syria? Well, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? So, maybe we're already there and we're just not talking about it. But nonetheless, film at 11, so stay tuned. We'll see what happens. And then there's a story out about that I would tell you to entertain. Much was made of the wounded warrior. How would I categorize that? Indiscretions? Recklessness? And wounded warrior has done its best to recover from that, you know, hiring different people and whatnot. But the story out that the Better Business Bureau has reviewed Wounded Warrior and kind of given them a clean bill of health. So I would recommend that to you. You know, not to be lost on, should not be lost on anybody relative to the work that gets done around the country and how that story blew up is the great work that Wounded Warrior has done and continues to do. So I would recommend that to you in terms of it's a story that's in the Washington Post right now. But if you go to your basic Google search engine, all right, because I know that everybody that I think the Washington Post the Washington Post has a cap on the number of articles that you can look at in a month for free. So if you, I'm searching Wounded Warrior Better Business Bureau, you should be able to get a story with another source. Just click on the news tab, and yep, and you can go to military.com. Better Business Bureau says no lavish spending by Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project got a clean bill of health from the Better Business Bureau after a lengthy review of the Jacksonville-based charity concluded it did not engage in lavish spending as portrayed in media reports. The Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance suspended its charity seal designation last year after Wounded Warrior Project dismissed the nonprofit's two top administrators in March of 2016. The findings came after media reports contended Wounded Warrior took money intended for veterans and wasted on perks for employees such as lavish conventions and parties. The Wise Giving Alliance concluded on February 1 that the Wounded Warrior Project meets all 20 standards of the Better Business Bureau uses in its assessment of charitable organizations. In terms of meetings and conferences, Wounded Warrior Project spending has been consistent with its programs and missions. Now, I guess I'm kind of curious. Are we talking about now? Are we talking about in the past? The report goes on, quote, the new leadership at Wounded Warrior Project will face challenges regarding the public trust, but being open and transparent is a great start towards that end, Better Business Bureau said in its announcing its findings. So anyway, I've been trying to get somebody to come on from Wounded Warrior and talk just frankly about, you know, what happened. So and I've got various, various answers relative. Yeah, we don't want to go there. That's, we're looking for, what did Martin McGuire said it during the whole Sarah things. I don't want to look at the past. I want to look forward. You know, and to be honest with you, this is just my advice to Wounded Warrior relative to this stuff. It's simply, just be honest, right? Just say, hey, we made mistakes, and let me lay it out for you. Here's what happened. Here's what we've done. Here's what we're going to continue to do. And so we want people to know if their confidence was shaken, we want them to give us another look. But it starts with just being, I think, brutally honest and taking responsibility. And I will tell you, one of the greatest qualities of the American people is their capacity for forgiveness. If you accept responsibility and you apologize and you're trying, the American people will give you a second and a third and a fourth chance. Maybe not a fifth one, but a second and third one without a doubt. It's amazing. It's amazing. So hopefully at some point they'll come on, because we certainly would like to be partners with them in helping spread the word of the great stuff they do and also the people involved now and the credibility that they approach their work with. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Marines on Management, you are going to hear from Angie Morgan, a best-selling author, and she's going to talk about transitioning. She's going to talk a little bit about her career. So on a Thursday, Transitions Thursday, thanks for listening. Remember, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, help us spread the word, All Marine Radio. More of that coming up next.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global Stock Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the stock community should be aware of.
The Global Stock Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm good.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, you are on a Thursday. You're listening to that. So, congratulations. Welcome to All Marine Radio on a Thursday, Transition Thursday. And there's a new element to it, so I'm excited about it. And as we kind of evolve All Marine Radio. And so today, for the first time, Transition Thursday, we always talk about transitions on Thursday, and we have two great guests today. One of them, you know, Bob Nilsen. We're going to talk kind of a follow-up to yesterday's interview with Ken Falk. He of Boulder Crest Retreat. And so we're talking about non-traditional ways and the concept of post-traumatic growth. So interesting stuff. So we'll talk to him at about 8:05 Pacific time, 11:05 Eastern time. And but today, for the first time, we're going to do a thing called Marines on Management. And, you know, a lot of Marines get out of the Marine Corps, go on to do great things. And so whether you're a civilian or whether you're a Marine, the way Marines are applying leadership principles that we learn, that we practice so much in the business world, and the good things they're doing with it, the way they're doing it, are things that certainly we can all learn from and certainly people are interested in hearing about. So today our first guest is Angie Morgan, former, I think she got out as a captain, and she is a co-founder of Lead Star. It helps professionals understand how they can achieve greater success by implementing leadership practices into their own work routine. So we're going to talk to Angie, and she is the wife of Matt Morgan. Matt, you heard from earlier this year. He was the former Marine officer who produced the Unknown Flag Raiser relative to the whole Iwo Jima controversy. So Matt has been a great supporter of All Marine Radio, and interesting guy in terms of his career, and then the work that he did on that project was awesome work, just in terms of the quality of the work. And just how interesting it was and the whole process of discovery that 70 years later, we would finally identify who was actually in arguably the most produced image on the planet. So it's pretty interesting. Anyway, so all that this morning on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. So we'll get the program going. We'll check some news headlines here. And the President of the United States, man, he is moving at light speed, doing the things that he said he was going to do. And it's kind of different. I'm not going to lie to you. It's kind of different. Why is he doing that? Well, he said he was going to do that. So we'll talk about that as well. Good morning to you. Thursday, January 26th, all day today, Transition Thursday for us, and Marines on Management Thursday. So excited to have Angie Morgan on this morning and talk about something I think Marines enjoy talking about, and that is leadership, and then on Thursday, how we transition leadership and apply it to a world that looks at us as kind of a curiosity event. Say the word Marine, and what? Exactly. Exactly. All right. So, United States Marine Corps Band.
owner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Ask not what.
And somebody has information. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Angie Morgan. Going to join us next on Thursday.
Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-2.
We recognize the service of America's.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Five and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Seven 16 here on a Thursday, Transition Thursday. Mike McNamara with you, and I'm joined by Angie Morgan. So first of all, Angie, good morning. Welcome to All Marine Radio. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much, Matt, for having me. I'm doing great.
No, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. The we first crossed paths with Angie's husband, Matt, who was the guy behind the special that we all watched on the Smithsonian Channel relative to the unknown flag raiser of Iwo Jima. And so Matt Morgan and he and I were talking. I was talking about this segment. He goes, hey, I've got somebody that you need to talk to. And so so he put me in touch with Angie. And so Marines on Management is born in the inaugural edition. So, Angie, thanks for doing this. I'm curious. You had a pretty good seat for that whole Iwo Jima. 70 years later, we're finally and you know what? You guys don't know this, but I do. See, Angie's another public affairs person, and this whole thing is a public affairs screw up. Okay, labeling a picture. Hello. So 70 years later, the Marine Corps unscrews the public affairs department, and that had to be a pretty interesting seat to have. History like that, so iconic, so flawed.
Yeah. Well, that's public affairs 101, right? When you're going through Zinfo's training, get people's names right in photos. but in all seriousness, it was incredible. I mean, as I'm sure Matt shared, you know, it was a lengthy process to really discover who these flag raisers were. And it was a really inspirational story. I think I'm most inspired by the unknown flag raisers just because of his, you know, silence and humility and humbleness throughout the whole, you know, his whole life about his contribution to that iconic picture.
Well, you know, one of the things that was kind of, I thought, interesting relative to All Marine Radio was, you know, our mission is post-combat related mental health. And and so I think one of the stories, the subtext in all of that is Bradley knows he's not in that photo. And he goes, when you see, Matt and I were talking, you see pictures of him at the dedication of the memorial. It looks like somebody shoved a grapefruit up his ass. He doesn't smile for any of them. And, you know, we as Marines, I can tell you how I wore my equipment. I know what I wore. Now, I might not remember everything that happened to me, but I know because I lived with that stuff. I put it together all the time. It was me. And his costume was so distinct on that mountaintop. And so why did he never say anything? What is the burden that he carries as a Navy Cross winner who went on this bond tour for his country, did what he was asked, you know, probably didn't think he remembered being in that picture because there was dozens taken up there that day. And then Schultz, he comes home. He's not in the picture. And he never says anything. Why? Because he just wants it to go away. He wants Iwo Jima to go away. And it's just, to me, it's so pregnant with this mental health thing that, that guys deal with, girls deal with when we come back from combat. And it's very kind of illustrative for me of the burdens that people bear once they leave the military after they see take part in conflict. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I don't think the average American understands, appreciates, has any awareness of that tremendous burden our Marines, our soldiers, our any service member carries once they get back from these intense combat experiences. Partly, certainly, because service members don't, really talk about it. It's too heavy oftentimes to share. And so few people, so few Americans actually serve in the military, so they just wouldn't know. And it's unfortunate to just to realize that disconnect. But more to your point about, both Godley and Schultz and, any fundraiser, it was an overwhelming circumstance. I can imagine that they wanted to move on with their lives.
A little bit. The interesting little sidelight yesterday was just kind of the non-traditional ways now that that we're beginning to kind of embrace in order to not have to medicate everybody and not, keep everybody in group therapy their whole life, that we can move on. And what you do is kind of is part of it. And the whole, I'm curious about the term post-traumatic growth. That which doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And so we leave these experiences. The Greatest Generation did a lot of great things after World War II. Arguably the greatest work they did was after World War II. And World War II was just the beginning. And those experiences were the springboard to great companies, great political careers, all based on service and selflessness. And so so which kind of segues us into you. We got to find out about you first. So, born and raised where?
Northern Michigan, in a small town called Kalkaska. I don't know if you know this. You probably have no idea, but it is the trout capital of Michigan.
You want to know what I love about wherever anybody's from? Everybody's got a saying. Everybody's got a saying like that. Oh,
My sister is the trout queen. I mean, you're talking to heir to royalty. That's pretty big, right?
She was the trout queen. No, that's awesome. The, no.
It is.
Bemidji, Minnesota, the walleye capital of the world. Like, what did you say?
Love.
Grand Forks, North Dakota, the home of cream of wheat. Okay, you shut up with that cream wheat stuff, but every town's got one. How? Where do you go to college? How does the Marine Corps get on your radar?
So growing up in a really small town, there really wasn't that much to do. So my friends and I partied, in high school. I wouldn't say, partied hard. We'd, go out on trails, meet our friends at the, their deer cabins, because that's what you do. You drink beer, you go home. And at the time, I was, the time of my life, I was getting ready to attend the University of Michigan. Thought I was getting away with something, but my parents really laid down the law. They're like, you're not going off to college if you're acting so irresponsibly. You need to try out this ROTC thing for a semester. And I was really resistant to the idea of, but my other choice was to stay at home and live with them and go to community college. And I just wanted to get the hell out of Northern Michigan. So I said, sure, I'll go into the military for one semester, if that's what you're asking me to do. So they said, ROTC for one semester. I said, yeah, I'll try it, see if I like it. And I knew nothing about the military. I didn't, all I knew is that I was going to have to do this while at college for a semester, and I wanted to just take the easiest path out. So I thought, I'll join the Navy ROTC program because we're so hard about driving ships, right?
Right.
Seems pretty easy to me.
It is.
I didn't realize,
autopilot, come on.
You say that.
They're not fooling anybody. It only gets complicated when you get close to running into somebody, okay? Other than that, it's like, come on, big ocean, little ship, come on, let's go.
So I didn't realize that it was actually the Naval ROTC program. And that the Marine Corps was a department of the Navy. And so you can imagine my first days at ROTC, I was just, what the heck? What are these Marines doing here? This is supposed to be easy. But I got to tell you, there was something about these Marine midshipmen that were really just interesting. They had this camaraderie, this confidence, this esprit de corps. And they were a really tight-knit group, and it didn't take me too long to figure out, gosh, I actually want to be among this. I want to experience this. And I'm an athlete, and the physicality of the Marines didn't necessarily intimidate me. There were certainly other things that were far more intimidating, but it didn't take long for me to really figure out, like, this is a really cool group, and I want to be a part of it.
No understanding or no idea. Well, let's see. My story is, you know, not that far away. I saw him being in Southern California. I saw Marines. I was really impressed with him. And when I thought about joining the military, it was like, I only want to be a Marine. I mean, I've seen the movies. I've seen them around. Pretty impressive group. And I never thought they were cool. The cool was not really a word that I used. That's kind of interesting on you. And you know which department of the Navy we are, don't you?
Oh, yeah, the men's department. I've heard that before. And I agree, from my experience.
That is the best. My son tells the funniest story about, he's working at FedEx in San Clemente. He's now a second lieutenant at 3-5, but he's getting ready to...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so he... Yeah, both my sons. The oldest is an instructor at the basic school, and Dash 2 had no choice. He's born on November 10th. His older brother's in. I'm in. And I looked at him, and I said, hey, look, John had a choice. I don't think you do, bro. He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I don't have to join. I'm like, do you want to be the family pussy? He's like, what? I said, you heard me. You want to stay home with the girls while the man, and then his older brother's like, yeah, while the men are doing men stuff, he's like, no, oh, this is bullshit. I'm like, hey, look, we're not making the rules up, man. We're just down here playing by them, so it is what it is. Anyway, he's working at FedEx in San Clemente, and he's working with a Lance Corporal Motor T guy who had got out, going to Saddleback, you know, doing, you know, transitioning. So this, they're packing some box for a woman whose husband was in the Navy. And so she sees the tattoo, and she said, oh, were you in the Marine Corps? And he says, now this is like, what, 24-year-old former Lance Corporal. He says, yeah, I just got out, you know, 6 months ago. She said, oh, my husband's in the Navy. You know that the Marine Corps is a department of the Navy. And with that, my son looked at me and says, Dad, and there's no way I think he's going to drop that bomb on this woman. And I said, you don't know our Lance Corporals, do you? And he said, sure enough, Dad. He says, yeah, I know that. Do you know which department? And he said, she must have never heard it because the look on her face. But then she started laughing and said, you guys are awful. But it's one of the great jokes to do on people that have never heard it before. So, it's awesome.
And I'm sure she went home and told her husband.
Exactly. I know. He said, they're idiots. They always say that. That's why you shouldn't talk to them. Talk to me about becoming a public affairs officer.
Well, so after college, I went through the basic school, which is, you know, pretty intense experience, especially for someone who, you know, I never really identified, you know, as a Marine growing up. It just wasn't on my interest radar and, you know, really didn't, you know, anything, honestly, about weaponry. And it was a really overwhelming experience. And, you know, I think at the time, I mean, this was, gosh, a long time ago, and women were really restricted on the opportunities available to them. I think they had just opened up combat engineers for women. And so I was thinking about my skill set. I knew that I really wasn't going to be a forever Marine. I thought about something I'd actually enjoy. And so public affairs, there were, you know, a few spots available, and I raised my hand, and fortunately it was what I got. You know, I know most Marines don't go into the Marine Corps thinking, gosh, I want to, you know, be in public affairs, but it just really matched well with my skill set, and it was great. I mean, I got to be a public affairs officer. I was stationed in Hawaii. I really feel like I hit the jackpot as far as opportunity for the Marine Corps.
So you go to Fleet Marine Force. What year do you get there?
1998.
And then when did you get out?
I got out, end of active duty was September 1st, 2001. You can imagine it was a very different country than it is today. So 10 days before September 11th.
Wow. Give me a couple people that have influenced you as a leader in your career. Big impressions. Oh, big dents in your head.
Big impressions. Like the first one who comes to mind, and in fact, I just published a book called Spark, and I wrote a significant story about this guy because he is just awesome. His name is Captain Harper. He was one of our instructors at the basic school, but he didn't want to be called by that. He called himself Coca-Cola because he was the real thing. And this guy's ego was just incredible. And he was so freaking tough and hard, and there was just no standard that you could fly by. But he was so caring. And, you know, I always hesitate when talking with Marines to use the word love, but I do think that love is a huge part of leadership. And he just loved us. I mean, it was tough love, no doubt, but I left prepared for what was next in my Marine Corps career by just having this guy reinforce high standards and every single step of the way just being there for me. And everyone, not just me.
Okay, there's one. I love that.
One.
Coca-Cola.
He's amazing. And then, you know, it's like thinking about other Marines. You know, I had this corporal who worked on our public affairs team, Corporal Salazar, just a really great guy. And he's a Marine who made a tremendous impression on me just because he made me better by being so awesome himself. He was the type of corporal who just took his role as NCO very seriously. He held the highest, you know, standard. He reinforced the standards. He went the extra mile for everyone in anything that he did. And I always, you know, as a leader, you know, we're an officer, you think, you know, I need to set your example. But the example he set made me really, like, sharpen my skill set, because if that's what he was doing, I'm like, shit, I better be good here.
Right.
And so he really led me in that regard just by being so squared away. So there's like two that really stick out as far as, you know, people who've influenced me in the Marine Corps. And there's some bad leaders, too, I'd say, that I had to work with and around, that I'm like, gosh, I never want to work with them again. And they left, you know, equally important life lessons. But I think I learned far more great lessons about leadership and about life than the poor ones.
I think I learned more from the bad ones, in retrospect, because I worked for more bad ones than good ones. It's my luck of the draw, but
that's unfortunate.
It is. But I worked towards the end of my career. I worked with none of the great leaders, and it was awesome. It was awesome. So, but you know what? I think the bad leaders fueled in me, this desire to make it great. Okay. And then when I worked for a good one, it was like the clouds parted. And it was like, this is how you do it. Look at how much fun this is. Look at how much this makes sense. Okay? And then sometimes, you know, I had to go back into the dunker with bad leaders, and it was so frustrating. I want to, and so you get out, Angie, and how does this whole experience, you're transitioning, and that's what we talked about today. And we're going to talk about management here and our skills and how you ultimately have related them, but I want to talk about you, just your transition. How did you point yourself, towards this career of mentoring and leadership?
Yeah, well, when I made the decision to get out of the Marine Corps, lo and behold, I then met my husband, to be, and he was stationed in Los Angeles. And so I knew I was heading towards Los Angeles to be with him, but didn't really have a clear sense of what I wanted to do. You know, I think anybody who's in the military, you're like, finally, I get to go make some money. And a lot of my friends had done pharmaceutical sales. So I landed a great opportunity with a pharmaceutical company, which actually led to the easiest. Do you ever wonder, Mac, what the easiest job in the Marine in the world is?
No.
I held it. Do you have any guesses of what it is?
No.
I got the job of selling and representing Viagra in Beverly Hills. Like, there is no easier job in this world.
So why aren't you retired? Why are you still working?
Exactly. It's the commission, man.
Did you
they figured it out after a year.
Do you? Wow. Unbelievable.
So I had my transition to do. And it was a tough, you know, despite the ease of my career, it was tough, you know, especially living in L.A. It's such an interesting environment. you know, you wonder, why am I so different? The things that I think should be right, like leadership by example, right, you know, by taking care of your team, like these things I learned in the Marine Corps, I just assumed that everybody who was a manager, everybody who was working in the private sector had been exposed to these leadership lessons or had gotten some sort of soft skill development. And so, again, I was going through, like, gosh, this is a great environment. And then just a lot of confusion around a lot of poor, just really poor managers. And a woman I served with, Courtney, she was working on the East Coast, and we would talk frequently and just compare our experiences. And it really helped us identify an opportunity that, you know, we knew that we could solve just some of the problems that we were experiencing by inspire managers to have stronger leadership skills. And so we went with it.
And so that was, so you said, let's sit down and start All Marine Radio?
Yeah. No, we sat down and we said, let's write a book about it. And so we wrote a book called Leading from the Front, No Excuse Leadership Tactics for Women. Our agent and publisher, they thought that, you know, women are least likely to be inspired by the Marine Corps. Why don't you write a leadership book for women? And so we did. But in tandem, we started a company, and we thought, this was about 13 years ago, we thought we were going to be a women leadership development firm. But when we started working with a lot of our clients, they're like, whoa, wait, what you're talking about, are concepts relevant to men too? Can't you talk to both men and women? And that really helped us evolve our work to eventually do consulting services for businesses to inspire military-style leadership practices in their businesses. I mean, you know, not knowing too much about your experiences and with a variety of different companies, there's a lot of really bad managers. Not just bad that, you know, they don't know how to communicate, but sometimes even ethically bad. And we just, you know, again, when you work for a bad boss like you have bad experiences, it's demoralizing. People don't engage. People quit their job. And so we've been really, you know, happy to help businesses, you know, gain greater engagement, gain greater retention, and ultimately gain greater results just by inspiring leadership from their managers.
All right. My guest, Angie Morgan, this morning, she, I want to hear about the spark thing, because I've watched a couple things that you've done, and that word continues to come up. But she is a founding partner of a company called LeadStar. And so we're going to take a quick break. Angie, when we come back, I want to talk about, I want you to give advice to leaders in the Marine Corps that are going to the civilian sector.
Okay.
We're told, you know, hey, you can't treat them like that, and no, they don't respond to that. They don't understand this world of discipline that you live in. So mm-hmm. Do I stay? Do I go? What do I do? Right? And hold on, an email question before we go to break.
Yeah.
Hey, Mac, I'm curious. Did Angie graduate from Michigan? Did you?
Yes, I did. Go Blue.
How about the ass whooping Ohio State put on those guys? Those guys. And oh, by the way, that wasn't a first down. I don't care how many pictures I see on the internet of Jim Harbaugh.
That's totally a first down. I completely disagree with you. We can agree to disagree, but I know I'm right.
That's funny. You know what? You know what I saw recently? I saw Harbaugh, you know, in that press conference, he holds his hands up. Right? Somebody mm-hmm. takes it and through the hands, they put like a cross and a cross beam, and then they superimpose that the word Ohio State, and that's the H in Ohio State wins. And so there's a picture of him with his hands, and it says Ohio State wins. It was hilarious. But
oh my gosh,
he's a nut,
that was
right?
Like one thing about the okay, so basically, this is we're gonna All Marine Radio. It's not gonna be All Harbaugh Radio or All
no.
Radio. Just one quick thing about that. He inherited his first year a team, not many new players, but he transformed them to do amazing things. That is great leadership. I don't care if you're a Ohio State fan, if you're not a Michigan fan,
right.
You have to give credit to that. I mean, again, same group of people, different results just by strong leaders. That's the power of good leadership.
And he does it everywhere. He started at my alma mater, which is the University of San Diego. Always very mediocre, mm-hmm. Division III, struggling to try to get better. And then he shows up, and now they're winning, you know, championships. And then he goes to Stanford and just rocks the Pac-12 and
yeah.
Puts an ass whooping on USC, who was killing everybody. And then he does it with the 49ers, and the 49ers run him out of town. You might want to call them because they have some issues in their management department. And then he goes to Michigan and he does the exact same thing. And I can't imagine how excited the Michigan community was when they're like, Harry Potter's coming to town. He's coming back. And he, it's exciting though. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
We're going to talk Marines and management. Coming up next, my guest today is a former captain of the Marine Corps. Her name is Angie Morgan. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. On a Thursday, we talk transition. Coming up next.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Canary Sergeant Gnarly Irma here with important information for veterans. At 2,600 American job centers nationwide, veteran and transitioning military personnel can find help with career counseling, resumes, and job placement. You want more information, don't you? The Department of Labor offers a variety of programs to help our military heroes find good jobs or continue their education. What are you waiting for?
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. ...743 on the west coast of the United States. That would make it 1043 on the east coast. And if you're waiting to go to lunch, you still got a good hour and 15 minutes, so you might want to pay attention. Joining me, former Marine Captain, Angie Morgan, founding partner, lead star. And so she's going to talk to us about A, transition. B, mentoring. So our leadership skills, hard, direct, supposed to be personal, supposed to be caring, into a culture that is not very hard, doesn't like direct very much, and loves caring. How do we, give us some advice? How do we do that?
Yeah, you know, I think, again, there was no manual I referenced when I transitioned out of the military, but there certainly were things I was fortunate to pick up, and have some really great mentoring as well. I think like the first thing just to understand is that there are things that you need to leave behind from the Marines, and there are things that, you know, are really valuable that you should never depart from. So, you know, language being one of them, right? No swearing. It's amazing. Like, you don't even hear it in your dialogue in the Marines, but it's amazing how prevalent it is. And so just being, you know, polishing up the language a bit. And I think, too,
are you shitting me?
Why would
but it is. I mean, something, you know, if we couldn't use profanity, we would just, like, roll the colors up, right? Sorry.
Know your environment. I mean, certainly some are more lax than others, but a lot of environments I am. I just don't think it's smile to come. And I think another thing is, like, the intensity of your experience, you know, it is something that, you know, could really scare a lot of professionals. You know, for me, like I said, I was the fourth of fourth in Afghanistan and Iraq, so I don't really necessarily have intense experiences, but for many of the Marines coming out of service right now, I just think it's a lot for people to handle. And so, you know, just be cautious, know your environment before you decide to share. And I also
Hold on. Go back to that. Be cautious of your environment before you decide to share. I lost a job or part of a job as an operations manager at a group of radio stations because I was, quote, too intense and too black and white. Was that me not adapting to my environment? And that was after my second trip to Iraq.
I would say it's kind of a marriage, right? It's a little bit of both, right? It could be part you. It could be part your environment. You know, I think that there are companies that are really encouraging and welcoming and nourishing and want to know the veteran experience. There are people who just, frankly, don't. It is just too much for them to understand. I've got a funny story. Like, in our work, you know, we work with senior leaders, and we help, you know, give them inspiration and guidance on how to be stronger leaders. So we brought in, I don't know if you know this Marine, he's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. He's a retired three-star general. He goes by Boomer's, his call sign Milstead. So Boomer was talking to this group of executives. Do you know him?
Oh, my God, are you kidding me? The only reason he got to be general was because of me. I saved that guy. Boomer, he's got the head of two buffaloes. He's got a gigantic head. Anyway, I'm sorry, Angie, but he's got a great personality, and he's got a spark in him that animates a lot of people.
Oh my gosh! So he was giving this group, you know, guidance on what they knew, that they were going through a transformation, and they were doing all these meetings, and they were really concerned about just people being held to high standards. The Boomer's like, you know what you need to do? You need to get that first meeting together, and if somebody disagrees with you, shoot them in the face. We're just going to get around that you mean business when that happens. And I was just, like, laughing. You should have seen the horror on some people's face. What do you mean shoot them in the face? I'm like, it's a metaphor. Because, you know, I tried to dance around it. But I was laughing with him. I'm like, we got to think of other language that you can. So I think, like, so some of that language is, like, is it culture appropriate? It's a really important question. But I don't want to leave your listeners thinking that there's a lot that they need to change about themselves. I think it's culturally adapt. One of the things that
Can I make a comment, though, Angie?
Yeah.
Especially combat experiences, though, too, because those scare people. And one of the sobering moments for me was I pinging people I was getting ready to retire. Hey, any advice? And from a number of guys got back, do not talk about your combat experience because, A, they're nervous about the whole PTSD and that you're going to come in and be a psycho. And so I would not share any of that information with anybody. And if in the interview you're asked, tell them in a very general way, about what you did and don't reference killing or any of those experiences because the civilian, business community is unless it's a veteran-owned business, you know, and he's a combat veteran or she's a combat veteran, that is okay, you know, and you feel comfortable. They said the civilian business world has not, you know, figured this out yet. So, and I don't know if I was surprised. It was certainly good advice, I thought. But I'd be curious your thought about that's part of the environment, yes?
Yeah, you know what I think people want to hear, and this is just my perspective. So I've got a really good friend. He's a Navy SEAL. I mean, he's led up a, you know, the best SEAL team that, you know, we all can think of. And he came in to do, like, a keynote for one of my clients. And people were really excited. But what they were excited about was they wanted to hear hero stories. They wanted to hear stories where he was badass. They didn't want to hear the reality of his experience.
We can tell the hero stories. We can do that. Right?
Yeah, they just want to hear the cool stuff that you did. They don't want the junk. I mean, they don't want the things that, you know, haunt you or wake you up in the middle of the night that are going to be on your conscience for the rest of your life. Like, they don't, you know, they just want to hear the cool stuff. Like, Yeah, I jumped out of a helicopter. And so I said, like, don't, you know, hide those things. I mean, because I think many people want to hear about them. They just don't want to hear the reality.
Okay.
That's like a second.
All right. Go ahead. I apologize for interrupting you.
Oh, no. I think that that's really, I mean, I wish it wasn't like that. I don't like the rules. I think that these are just the rules. But there are things that Marines have. I want to be Marines, especially because I don't think anybody does this as good as my car. Anybody. Any learning institution, any business school, any other academic program. I think by far the Marine Corps is best at developing leaders. And I don't know the origination of these ideas to build leaders, like where they came from, or if it was just a couple guys like, yeah, let's try this and see if it works to influence people, and it just works. But in training, I mean, you learn leadership principles. You learn core values, and they are embedded in the organization. And I say bring those. I mean, the things that, you know, leadership principles, troop leading principles, you know, like lead by example, be technically and tactically proficient, and all these things, you know, be of service to others. I mean, these are the things that businesses need, like a fundamental leadership skill. You know, the values that guide you in your day-in, day-out behaviors. I think that those are the things that you need to reflect upon and figure out how to bring them forth more in your everyday interactions. Because those are the type of skills that can help transform groups of individuals into a really solid cohesive team.
Okay. My guest, Angie Morgan, her company is called LeadStar. She is the co-founder of it. She's also a New York Times best-selling author. How about that? And and she joins us first of all, congratulations. Give me three key things for Marine leaders, military leaders, that they go into the as they go into the civilian sector. One you talked about already, know your environment, and, you know, kind of on the down low. Hey, knock the profanity off and tell them hero stories. You know what? Which is great advice, honestly. And then give me two more bullets that for us as leaders to keep at the top of our head as we migrate into the civilian sector.
Yeah, I would say understand what makes people credible in your organization. You know, in the Marine Corps, you know, your credibility was determined by a few things, but I mean, I think the most important thing was PT, right? Can you do your pull-ups? Can you run? Can you, you know, 20 miles? Can you do these things and do them exceptionally well? Like, that really helped lend to your credibility. And, you know, were you technically capable with your role? And so I think in business environments, just understand what the people who are really succeeding are doing. What are they doing to make them credible? And you can get a lot of information from their behavior by that. You know, is it like if you start a sales position, are the sales, you know, what are those sales professionals who've earned, you know, great success? What are they doing differently? And what are some of the behaviors that you can model? So I'd say that, like, really try to understand what makes people credible in the organization you're joining and stick with that. And I would also, don't lose sight of the value of service because, you know, your commitment to one another, because you're not really going to see it demonstrated often and represented in the work that you're there, but it's valued nonetheless. I find that many veterans think, like, gosh, all these things that I learned are going to make me wrong. Like when I start to do team building, when I, you know, really start to work across departments and, you know, help support others in their quest. But no, those are the things that I think are really valuable that, you know, you could feel insecure about, but are the things that are going to help you really stand out as top performer.
Is there anything that you see veterans as they transition, is there a fatal flaw? Is there something that you would say, hey, the one thing or two things I see the most in terms of being a successful leader and transitioning your leadership skills into the civilian sector are these two things?
But there's some superficial things that I think are really important. Not the superficial things, like buy a good suit. Don't go to the exchange. Go to, like, the Nordstrom. Get some help. Like, buy a good suit. And that's so superficial, but I think it's really important to help defy stereotypes.
Hey, you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Like, think about how much people spend on their dress blues. Spend that much on a suit, and don't wear your core frowns. I mean, you just don't want to be stereotyped. I think that's really important. And, like, grow your hair out just a little bit. Just a little bit. Because I think a lot of people carry around possibly negative stereotypes that you just don't want to fall victim unintentionally to a stereotype. So, again, haircut and suit, I think, are too important. So those are superficial. And I think the non-superficial, I think that understand that nothing you've done up in, you know, everything that you've done up until this point in your life is going to be far more exhilarating and important than anything you're going to do in the future. And just reconcile that. And the best people you've ever worked with, well, I'm just thinking for myself, and like the best people you've ever worked with, that just happened. Those are my opinions. You may disagree on the first point, but.
No, I groan because I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
It's sad to admit it, isn't it?
No, but you know what? I think it's kind of interesting, you know, doing interviews like this. The more upfront we are, and I would say in our own culture, and that's why I love All Marine Radio, because it's our culture, because you can come on and say, hey, grow your hair out. Don't wear your core brands. You're going to look like a complete doofus. Now, you've done all this work to get the interview now, or get the job. Now, you're going to show up like that. And what you do is you limit access and you limit your upward mobility if you can't do these things. But no, but I think it does help, though. When somebody says, hey, look, you know, accept that. But the gift, the opportunity you have, though, is to be John the Baptist. It's to be Paul. I don't know why I'm throwing these biblical references out here today. But to be an evangelist for what it is to be a better leader. It's not going to be what you experience. But you can make it better. You can change their lives. And so to me, it's a kind of what you're doing is, this is going to be so lame, but you're like creating this spark, right?
This I love it. Great spark, Matt. Can you say it 5 more times?
Spark, 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 spark. So talk about this, because that's to me, it was the discussion I had yesterday in terms of the difference between post-traumatic stress disorder and post-traumatic growth. I heard General Mattis say post-traumatic growth, and I was like, what did he just say? What is that? I never heard that. And so it's a different way of looking at it. It's and once you begin to change the way you look at it, I think a lot of different things happen because of that. And I, you know, that's what you're talking about, changing the way you look at it, and what you have can be a spark to launch you into another great world, another great experience where you can be the mentor for a lot of different people. But you certainly got to adjust to their world. They're not coming to yours.
And I will say, and we started off talking about this too, going back to World War II veterans, you know, they had something that modern-day veterans don't have. You know, everybody, nearly everybody engaged in World War II, they had a community. This veteran population transitioning, they don't. And so I guess the guidance, I'm like, you know, really kind of tone down the language in your environment, but please don't forget that you still need those connections, because there's no one who can help veterans, support veterans, and veterans themselves. So find that in your community. It's been really interesting to see a lot of businesses that we work with are starting to develop veteran groups internally, because they recognize that there's strength in that community. And if they can facilitate those conversations, you know, it helps veterans, I think, feel, you know, just feel more connected to that which matters to them most. And so I'd say, you know, you're probably not going to find that, though. Most people at work, they'll find it elsewhere. I think it's really key.
All right. I know you have to run. How do we find out more about your company, people that will hear this and are interested in working with you, Angie. And without, I know I don't have to say this, but you're going to need to come back and do this again and pull out some of the stuff that you do in your seminars and whatnot and give us kind of thumbnail versions of that. Awesome stuff today. How do people find your company and more about you?
Yeah, you know, they can find our company through leadstar.us, and all of our information is there, and I look forward to hearing. I look forward to hearing for professionals. I mean, especially, of course, but I thank you for this opportunity. I think what you're doing is wonderful, so number five, keep doing it.
All right, Double Dog, you have a great day, and thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. There you have it. That is Angie Morgan. She's one of the founding partners of LeadStar. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Nielsen is going to talk to us about non-traditional treatment for PTSD. If you missed it yesterday, Ken Fout came on. He is the founder and president of Boulder Creek Retreats. They are using, you know, they are embracing, that they have embraced the term post-traumatic growth. So we're talking to a Vietnam veteran about that, and we're talking about change at the top of the VA. What does that mean? Bob Nielsen's back in D.C., so we'll get his expert opinion, although he never describes himself as such. So with all that said, All Marine Radio, on a Thursday, they were talking transition. Awesome segment with Angie Morgan, and she's the wife of Matt Morgan, who's been a great fan and a great booster of All Marine Radio. And so happy to have her on today on the inaugural segment of Marines on Management. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO.